Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about what it means for us practically following Jesus in our day-to-day lives. And we've also talked about a couple of weeks back the day-to-day worries that we might have as people and how we can give them to the Lord and cast our cares upon Him because He cares for each one of us. And today, in Paul's words to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 5, he's showing us that God has given us something to focus our minds on, because sometimes when we don't have a focus, that's when our minds can go off and think about all kinds of different things. But God has given us a clear purpose. It's the ministry of reconciliation that Paul is talking about in this passage. That we read that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. This is the work of God, but it's also the work that He calls us to be part of as His children, as those who believe in His name. And so both as a church, as a group, as a whole, and as individuals, we're part of this calling that God has given us. And it helps us perhaps to take our minds off our own day-to-day concerns and know that although those things, those day-to-day problems are important to God and are significant, that there is this huge bigger picture that's going on in the background, this bigger picture that is far bigger than any individual one of us, far bigger than us altogether, because it's the work of God that He's been outworking throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia. That He's redeeming and restoring His creation that He made in His love. And so as we take part in this work of God, in this reconciliation work of the world to Him, we'll find that there's a reward for us in the present, because it's a privilege to be part of this work, but also we know that the fruit that it bears is eternal fruit. When someone has their relationship with God restored because they hear about the good news and the message of reconciliation, that they have peace with God, that is something that's going to last for eternity. God is not just a friend now, but He's a friend long into eternity, into the future. There are probably people in your life that you can think back and have put in a great amount of investment into your life. You know, it might be a parent who has worked long hours so that you could study, that you could have food on the table, a roof over your head. It could be perhaps a teacher at school who just stayed behind with you after class to try and explain some difficult kind of concept to you. It could be a friend who has walked side by side with you throughout a difficult season in your life as you've been struggling. It could be a mentor who recognized something in you and encouraged you along the road of life. And it's quite natural when we have someone like that that we can think back to, that we kind of want to make them proud. We want to show that we're grateful for what they've done for us by putting some of the things that they've taught us into action. And in many ways, you can sense that with the Apostle Paul's relationship with Jesus, because he speaks in this passage about how the work that he's doing and the work that his co-workers are doing is compelled by the love of Christ. So we see in this passage that he's deeply thankful for everything that God has done for him in Jesus, that he's completely motivated by the love of Jesus is that he's experienced in his life. We might think back to his conversion on the road to Damascus, when there's this blinding light and he falls from his horse and he's on his way to persecute and arrest some more Christians. But when he asks, "Who are you, Lord, that is speaking to me?" he says, "I am Jesus." And at that point, Paul probably thought, "Uh-oh, I'm in big trouble." But Jesus says to him, "Now get up and go into the city and I will show you what you must do." Paul is given incredible grace and love by Jesus, even though he was persecuting the people of Jesus and therefore Jesus himself. And it's that great demonstration of God's love in Paul's life personally and in the lives of his co-workers, which is the thing that compels him and motivates him every day to give his life to the work of Jesus. Knowing that Jesus had died in their place on the cross meant that they no longer lived for self, as it puts in this passage, but for the one who has redeemed them, who died for them, who died for all. And so the love of Christ is not merely an emotion that we might feel, or a kind of passive thankfulness that we might have towards God, but it's something that transforms our will on the inside. When we say, thank you, God, now I'm going to live my life for you. And it redirects our focus to think about what God is doing in the world. And because Jesus gave himself for us, it encourages us to give our lives towards him. Paul's ministry, and therefore ours too, was not one that was motivated by a sense of fear or guilt or duty. It was motivated primarily by the love of God in his life. Paul knew that there was nothing that he could do that could ever repay Jesus for what he'd done, but what he could do was give him every day in his life. And at the end of his life, he would have the wonderful joy of presenting before Jesus everything that he'd done in his name. So when Paul speaks of the love of Christ changing everything, he goes on to say that it even changes the way that we regard people in the world. He says, because of what Christ has done, we no longer regard people from a worldly point of view. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. It gives him a whole new perspective. And as we look out at other people in our lives, we no longer see them as just other people. Some of them are annoying, some of them are nice. We see each person as loved by God. It transforms the way that we see people and also the way that we see ourselves. We don't define ourselves by all of our past failures, but we define ourselves by knowing that although there are standards in the world that we might not have met that have been put upon us, actually in the eyes of God, he knows us and loves us as his children. Imagine what it means going out into the world, knowing that the God of all the universe, the God who created everything and the God that created your inmost being is on your side, that he's in your corner. That the God who is love is behind you, that he wants to equip you, that he wants you to know his love for you, to send you out with joy like a father watching a child go out into the world. And this is the heart of the gospel message. This is why it's good news. We're accepted by God and not rejected by him. We're loved by him and we're not lost. We're freed and we're not condemned. And Paul reminds the Galatians in a letter to them, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So we can read perhaps into Paul's words there that, again, the old has gone. The life built on guilt or shame or thinking we need to strive in order for God to accept us. Because in Christ, a new life of grace has begun. And we need to keep coming back to that because as we spoke about the other week with our worries, it's very easy for that sense of guilt and shame to slip back in, thinking that God will only love me if I do this for him or if I do that for him, or I didn't do that well enough and therefore I've let him down. But God says at the beginning of all that, before that, I love you, you are my child. There is nothing that you can do that's going to stop me from loving you. He wants us to go out there, and sometimes we won't do every part of our work for him perfectly. I don't. But I know that he still loves me. This reconciliation that we have with God is not something that we kind of have to work at and do ourselves. It's something that he's given us freely at the cross. He's saying, I've reconciled you to myself through Jesus. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we know that we're reconciled with God, that we have that fixed and mended relationship with God. He's the one who puts the tape on the car bonnet, the toy car. It's not the car putting the tape on itself. God's verdict over our life is not try harder, but you are my beloved child. This is what makes the good news good news. And anyone can experience that new beginning with God. that same freedom, that same loving welcome, that joyful assurance from God that becomes the foundation of all that we do as a Christian. Whether that's things we do within the church community or whether that's things that you're doing in your own life. That knowing that assurance from God and that joy deep within our heart means that when we're out in our working life or where we're volunteering or we're out with friends and family, it's not just about what we're doing there, it's who we're being in front of those people. We're being those who are loved by God, and therefore that can be seen in us, whatever we're doing. So Paul then turns to the practical outworking of this new life. He calls us ambassadors. We kind of hear quite a lot about ambassadors in the news at the moment, don't we? You know, we might talk about the Russian ambassador, the Ukrainian ambassador, Israeli ambassador, American ambassador, British ambassador. Lots of ambassadors that are there to represent the nations that they're coming from. And in Christ, we are ambassadors of God's kingdom. He says all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. As we go out into the world, we're representatives. That we don't regard the people that we meet as simply other people, but as people that are deeply loved by God. And that includes the people that we find most difficult in the world. And by the people that we find most difficult, I'm not just talking about the person who's let their hedge grow into your side of the boundary and the next door neighbour. It's actually talking about really evil people in the world. And it is hard to grasp that the same love of God that saves you and me is the same love of God that Jesus hands out towards the people who really cause evil and destruction in the world. Perhaps one of the hardest things to accept about the gospel is that it truly is there for all. And that's why Jesus teaches us this incredible teaching of loving your enemy. Because even your enemy is deeply loved by God as a human being created in his image. And that makes us really different as Christians, that we love our enemies. Jesus himself knew what it was like to be despised and rejected. Now, Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. And John's Gospel in the New Testament says, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it's amazing, isn't it, that invitation that God gives there to each of us to become children of God is actually the ministry that he's given us to do. That Paul says in this passage that God is imploring the world through us. He's making his appeal known through us, that we will go out there and say, be reconciled to God. And he's choosing ordinary people like you and me to take this extraordinary message into the world about the love and the goodness of God. We are not perfect as individuals, but we have been sent by a person who is perfect. When we go out, we're just ambassadors pointing to Jesus and not to ourselves, because we have this incredible privilege of being his children and his ambassadors, that we are living letters of God's grace being written to the world as we live our lives every day. For those who do believe in Jesus, this is the heart that we're being given through which we love and serve. If there are those of us here who do not yet believe in Jesus, this is God's invitation to you today. And you may not see God physically, but we pray that you see him reflected in the hearts and minds and actions of his people. That's the challenge for us, to represent Jesus with honesty and humility and compassion. We're not perfect. We're people that have morally failed in some way or the other, and yet we're also people that have been forgiven. Once I heard a sermon by a fellow ministerial student when I was at college, and went through all of the different theological definitions of what we might think sin is. But at the end of it said, what we do know about sin is it's forgiven by God. Paul concludes with this astonishing truth, verse 21 of this reading. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And this is the heart of the message, the grace that transforms the world, starting with our own hearts. So we've seen in this verse, in these verses, the love of Christ compels us to give our lives to this incredible purpose that he's given us, the purpose of being ministers, ambassadors of the message of reconciliation, that through Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, making friends with the world, restoring the relationship, putting the tape on the broken bonnet, putting the tape on the broken caterpillar wheels. And through that, we find a whole new perspective of seeing the world. We see it through the eyes of God himself. There's one final slide on the screen. Just a thought. There may well be people in your life with whom things are a little bit out of sync at the moment. You know, maybe it's a friend and haven't seen them for a while, or maybe there was a difficult exchange with someone. Pray about that person this week. Is there any way that that relationship could be mended in some way? Because when we are mending relationships in the world, we're showing God's character as well as mending that relationship. Maybe there are people that you know who are feeling broken at this time, and you know that Jesus can help to heal that person's heart. Who are those people that might be on your mind right now that you can speak to in Jesus' name? This is the message of reconciliation that we've been given by God because we are loved by God, and he calls us to love others. Let's pray together.